Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Landfill's playing sad Beatles songs. That's how you know.
That song is depressing.
I don't know if he's, what do they say about Batman? He doesn't necessarily want the job, but he needs the job. The Batman of our times is a man of the cloth. Very few people more prepared or excellent to set us straight this morning on a Misery Monday than the Reverend. Mr. Rev T joins the program. Hello, Reverend. How do you do on this Misery Monday?
JP, B. Mitch, Jeff Landfield, my 106.7 The Fan family, my Commanding Nation family. You ask me how do I feel on a Misery Monday after we done came out of this wilderness and the Commanders lost to the Cowboys. You know, I was going to speak on something else, but that song, it just inspired me because, you know, I go in the moment, not in the situation. I done heard my brothers and sisters cry about yesterday. It seems like our troubles just three games ago were so far away. But now the dream is starting to fade away, and some of y'all ain't believing in yesterday. See, yesterday y'all was praising Daniels. Yesterday y'all was praising Siva. Yesterday y'all was praising Quinn and Kingsbury. But today, though, after a situation, after a bad situation, your mind is worrying and your heart is they getting a little bit of trouble. But believe it or not, you ask the Reverend how I feel. Ask me how I feel, JP. Ask me how I feel right now.
How do you feel, Rev?
JP?
Yes. How do you feel?
Ask me how I feel.
I have twice.
Three times.
How do you feel?
I feel good, JP. Because at the end of the day, sometimes you got to lose in order to figure out how to win. And at the end of the day, we didn't even expect them to have the record that they got right now. Half of these people that's chastising and criticizing them, they thought the record be better than this. I know it hurt. I know we got to listen to these Bama's Cowboys. So what? They be all right. Because at the end of the day, at the end of the season, they going home, and we got to try to go run in the playoffs. But for you Bammers who don't believe, for you Bammers who disbelieve, I called on the Lord. Lord, help them, Lord. Lord, save the defense right now. Save the offense right now. Hold on, Lord. Please really help their special teams right now. Y'all know what this is. The people's hype, man. And Bammers, let your heart be not discouraged. Say it with me.
Red T.
And I still say, why not us? Why not us? Bammers, just get whatever the hell. Bye.
Thank you, Reverend. Just real quick, so I'm not crazy. I asked Rev how he was feeling like three times, right? He just didn't hear me.
You did.
Anybody named Nas gets through. Nas and Clinton. Nas, how you feeling,
what's up,
buddy?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you, man.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Man, I just want to come in and say, man, I want to get a blame pop literally to us as fans for the expectations we had after being 7-2, not taking into account that early in the season, we had struggles, but yet we did pull through in primetime moments because we have got a rookie quarterback. And since then, it seems like because we haven't had success in a long time, that now we have to speed up the process. And with a Super Bowl, we're going to make the playoffs. We looked at Dallas and say, well, they lose, and they talking about their coaches, that if we was going to win that game without the game even being played. And then other 50% of the blame, I'm going to give to the players and the coaches, because yesterday, despite you having good field position, blocking a punt and a field goal, you guys didn't execute, right? You guys, it seemed like there wasn't the effort needed to say, let's put this team away. We can't go in each week, and when we're behind, we realize, dang, let's go score.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Versus coming in and saying, hey, we up. Let's keep doing what we're doing to put the game away. And I think with this team now, with the personnel you have, some of those guys are replacement players. They're not necessarily starters on other teams. So, yes, moving forward, things should get better and will get better. But I just think overall, us as a fan base, yeah, we want to beat Dallas, but let's temper some expectations. Each week is not a win. You got to go out there and fight and let your rookie quarterback show his abilities. He has elite traits, but he also has some struggles. But the reality is this. I call him the KD of NFL. When the game is on the line, no matter what the clock is, he can go get you to that end zone. He's no different than KD getting
the bucket. He said that yesterday. It was cool. He's like, man, whatever the situation, the Washington Commanders are going to fight. Thanks for the call, Nas. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yep. All right, bro.
I do think
– I like that.
Late in the game, when Dallas stopped blitzing, I think a lot of interior pressure is impacting Jaden and the Commanders' offense. And I think you generally see that across the NFL –
yep.
And tail as old as time. When there's interior, quarterbacks can handle pressure from the edges, especially a guy like Jaden that can take off with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
When the pressure's in your face before you even have a chance to complete your drop back, it's a lot more difficult.
That's what I've said. Like, you know, we always talk about the pass rushes. I'm like, the guys inside can cause more trouble than the guys outside. We were just saying that last year about our defense. You know, yeah. We always talked about, oh, we got rid of the Trace. We got rid of Montez, oh, we could have had people coming through the middle, too.
Let's go to Alvin. What up, Alvin?
What's up, JP?
How you doing, pal?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, JP, man, you owe me a beer because I listen to all your podcasts.
I appreciate that, bud. I'll work on it.
B. Mitch, you need to bottle up and sell that gumbo.
All right,
my blame pie, 30%, I want to give to the special teams because it was just horrible yesterday. 30% to Cliff Kingsbury because he just looked confused on the sideline whenever they showed him yesterday. And 30% I want to give to the offensive line because we didn't get any push in the run game against a weak run defense. And my last 10% I want to give to the defense because we didn't make the plays when they were out there to be made.
I appreciate it, man. It's a good call, Alvin.
All right, man.
Thanks, buddy. Lanville, we haven't checked in with you.
You've been quiet today, Lanville.
Awfully quiet. And I'm curious, Blame Pie, how you're feeling? Just kind of checking in with the chief BSologist of the program.
Yeah, that was a terrible performance. They've been playing poorly for several weeks. I'm going to give 30% to Cliff Kingsbury. I think this is we're seeing exactly what happened in Arizona all those years. They start off hot, and he just can't evolve the offense in season or whatever, and halfway through, other teams figure him out. And it's just a series of pathetic performances from then on. I expect it to continue for the rest of the year. The O-line can't block anymore. The receivers can't catch. Jaden's not as accurate with the passing. They gave up 30-something points, so you'd think the defense deserves some blame. But the last couple of weeks, it's been the same story. They actually start off playing pretty well, but the offense just keeps going three and out every series, and eventually those guys get tired. You can only ask them to do so much. So I'm going to go like 30% on Cliff Kingsbury. I'm going to go, I think, 30% on the guys that actually play on offense because I don't think there were good performances from any of them, except maybe Terry. And then the special teams was just an absolute disaster as well. Just everything from you can't snap the ball, you're missing kicks, and you can't cover on kicks. Just a complete disaster.
I mean, that defense didn't give up 30. They gave up 20.
Thanks, buddy.
But even that, I don't think it's particularly fair to blame them because they just keep getting put in tough spots.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to expect, oh, great, we got a punt. Maybe our offense will be able to possess the ball for more than 45 seconds or something, and they're just not.
The thing that kills me is when Witt and Quinn got hired, they made it clear, turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. Ball is life. We are about generating turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that with some regularity and success, and the Washington offense is doing nothing once they get the ball.
Yeah.
That to me is a real problem. I'm a little confused here, Lanville. Somebody named JP is on the line. I assure you it's not me. Let's find out. Hello, JP. This is JP.
JP.
What's up?
JP. How y'all doing?
I'm good.
Right. Thank you for taking my call. First time caller. I've been a Redskins fan, I can say that, since I was 7 or 8, give or take a couple of years. That dates back to the first Super Bowl. I put 100% on the team because last time I looked, it was a team game. Mitch, you say it's a rebuild. In Philly, they call it a process. I think Josh Harris owns the Sixers. So with that process, I think it's a few more years before we have that final product on the field. It took Dan Campbell how many years now? What, 4 or 5 years?
But Dan got his stuff going the second year.
Yeah, but he didn't start out too.
Yeah.
With a rookie quarterback either. But his first year, he didn't have much success as we are also. So it's a rebuild, like you said, B-Man.
His second year, they went 9-8. The second year for Campbell in Detroit, they went 9-8.
Yeah.
And then,
what was the first year?
That was a bad year, 313-1.
And where are we right now?
Yeah.
7-5.
I think they're ahead of schedule. Doesn't change it. Yesterday was a mess. But I, you know what, JP? I appreciate the long view, man. I do.
Yeah, so I have a long history with the team. So.
Thanks for the call, bro.
Appreciate you, man.
Oh, Drew's on the line. Drew, what up, man? How you feeling from yesterday?
Oh, it was a terrible loss. You know, our offense was missing in action for the first half, and our place-kicking team accounted for 19 points of differential on an 8-point loss. That's unexcusable. But I got 5 points for my favorite media guy in the blame pie for jinxing the comeback. Because at 3:50-something, with still minutes left of playing time on the clock, I saw a tweet that said, Washington lost 3 in a row and they're offense is anemic. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, we could come back. He's jinxing us. And then I saw that tweet zip from my phone.
Is that from me?
Siebert. Right, yes.
Drew, if you think my tweet had anything to do with what happened in that game, God bless you, buddy.
I'm just saying, JP, it tweeted, it went right off my phone, and it and it knocked that point after it. I was like, what is his Tyreek Stevenson moment? The clock's not at 0-0. The game's not over. What's happening, JP?
All right. I'll take your 5%, Drew. No problem, buddy. It was premature. You're correct. I'll own that. I think my assessment was still pretty spot on, but I will own that it was premature.
It was like Dewey defeats Truman if Dewey would have really won.
I don't know that it was quite that significant, but all right. Thank you for the call, dude. I appreciate it. Jaden is in Columbus. Jaden, what up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
Good, buddy.
So my blame pie, again, is going to kind of be similar to everyone else. Cliff, I think I called you guys 2 weeks ago. This is a problem going back to Texas Tech, everywhere he's been, second half of the season, offense drops off a cliff. And I don't understand why people care about the wins or losses. No, I don't care about that. It's our quarterback, who's supposed to be a stud, is not playing well. He's regressing. Every other rookie quarterback, one of my best friends is a Bears fan. He is more happy than I am today, and they lost. Why? Their quarterback's getting better. Ours is not. Bo Nix is getting better. That's why Kyler and him had beef, because Kyler always regressed. He'd be an MVP candidate, and then he would drop off a cliff. As a rookie, I just want you to get better. I don't care about the wins or losses. We're a one-and-done playoff team. Okay, cool. 9-8, 10-7, don't care. We have no chance of making a Super Bowl. I want Jaden Daniels to get better. That's it. And with the Dan Quinn hire, this is my concern with defensive head coaches. You have no influence on the quarterback. Dan Quinn cannot help Jaden Daniels one bit, and he's one of our highest paid employees. Look at the Texans. DeMeco Ryans has no control over C.J. Stroud. He cannot help him. Sean Payton can help Bo Nix. He's the head coach, and he's never going to leave. When you have an offensive head coach, like Matt LaFleur, he's never leaving Jordan Love. His play caller will always be there. Mike McDaniel and Tua, their play caller will never leave. Dan Quinn is beholden to an offensive coordinator.
McDaniel wasn't even there when they drafted. Listen,
if you're going to use that, remember Bill Belichick was with Tom Brady, and they won.
And so what was even Brady left?
Nothing. But still, he was there with him. So if you get the right, offensive mind, you got the right offensive mind. It doesn't make a difference, bro.
Peyton didn't win a Super Bowl until Tony Dungy was the head coach. I don't want to dismiss what you're saying about Jaden, about Cliff's struggles in the second half. Like, there's enough evidence that it's a real discussion, right? But I don't think Jaden can't succeed just because they didn't hire an offensive play caller as a head coach. I think more than one thing can be true at once. What was that?
Because every other rookie's progressing. Ours is regressing. Like, Bears fans are pretty happy. Caleb is looking like a number one pick.
But some of that is also perception.
Week 11 or 12 for that to really happen.
Right, and a lot of that is perception.
What are you talking about, man?
Like, Denver's playing really well as a team.
I hate the people that call in here with this BS about Jaden. I'm not going to quit on Jaden. I think Jaden's a damn good athlete. I think he's a damn good quarterback.
He's the guy.
And I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But every time another quarterback have a good game, I can give a damn. Long as I will continue.
Daniels is the guy. I love Daniels. He's the guy. I'm just concerned about the regression. He's a stud. I think he's going to be top 10 for his whole career. My problem is the regressing. He needs to be getting better as a rookie. He shouldn't have reached his peak in September.
I don't know that he's regressing as much as the team overall is struggling. And I think those can be separate. There were moments early on, though, where it looked like he could carry them regardless whatever else happened. It's a good call, Jaden, and I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. All right. Lord, here goes nothing. Commander, go quick. What's up, buddy?
Here goes nothing. Ay, ay, ay. Tell me about that. Okay, my special pie goes to a mud pie to the special teams. You know, they did their best, but then that's a mud pie for them, you know, with some whipped cream, with some Bailey's and hot chocolate for them. But we're a team. We're the Commander team. So the whole pie goes to the bad pie to the Commanders as a team.
Thank you, brother. You know, he's serving mud pie. Sammy, last one. Sammy, go quick for me, bud.
Samuel Wu, brother. Northwest D.C., 14th Indicator.
Shout out to 14th Indicator. What up?
I'm a Brad Mitchell fan, a big J.B. Philly fan. I love the Commanders, brother.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate the call. When we return, Peter Rosenberg will join the program. Brian, I know you're fired up to talk to Rosenberg, and I know he's got a hell of a story from talking and hanging with Jay-Z yesterday. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's games. All right, we got the Ravens taking on the Chargers. Anytime touchdown. All right, I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. Over rushing yards, we'll go with Derrick Henry. Over passing yards, well, you know what? I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson on that as well. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Joining us right now as he heads back to NYC, I believe, is our guy, Mr. Peter Rosenberg. He was at Northwest Stadium yesterday. You had a very funny Instagram post. A lot of people in that suite. What up, man? How are you?
First of all, big warning to the many listeners you have who are going to be making this same drive in the next couple days. It is already annoying, and it is Monday.
Really? That bad already?
Wow.
I mean, bro, we left Bethesda a little after 10:15, maybe. It's going to end up being, it looks like 4 hours and 40 minutes. It's bad.
Oh, man.
How long did it normally take you?
I mean, on a good day, under 4, 3:45.
Wow.
I mean, It's looking about an hour worse than usual, and it's Monday morning. So that's a little worrisome.
Wow. Speaking of worrisome, what'd you think of the loss yesterday?
It was worrisome. It was very worrisome. I'd say I'm trying to think of what my top takeaway is besides, of course, just the overall madness. Like, what a ridiculous football game in every way. But, I mean, listen, we have an offense problem. Like, that is a – can talk about the end of the game and all that stuff. And I listen to you guys do it, and I'm happy to do it as well. But the truth is now – you kind of go back to like halfway through the Steelers game, and there is an offense problem on this team. I don't know what's going on with the play calling. I don't know why the receivers cannot catch the football, but it just does not feel like anybody wants to do the quarterback any favors on this football team right now.
I agree with that. I also, speaking of worrisome, are you being surrounded by Harley Davidson or something? What is going on the road?
Yeah, dude, I just got off my Bluetooth and went to my speaker hoping to be better. It's one of those 18-wheelers every couple of minutes just does that crazy – it sounds like someone's shooting at me on the trip.
talking with our friend Peter Rosenberg, he was at the game yesterday. Of course, ESPN New York fighting the good burgundy and gold fight in the city of Gotham. The offensive regression, the numbers support it. Like, there's ample evidence. Where do you think it comes from? Are you worried about Cliff? Are you worried about Jaden? Are you worried about the O-line? Is it a combination of all of these things? How do you explain it?
I got to say, guys, call me crazy. Call me overly optimistic. I don't think it's Jaden. Like, I don't think he looked hurt yesterday.
We don't either.
There were a couple. Yeah, I mean, there was the one ball in the end zone early to Ertz that was a little overthrown. Like, he had a couple balls that weren't perfect. But by and large, like, for example, there was that one horrible drive where on three plays in a row, he had to end up just scrambling right and running out of bounds. And when I watched those plays from the box I was in, like, I could see he had nothing, and I could see him looking at his options. Like, he's still seeing the field. There was nothing home. And then throughout the day, it just seemed like besides Terry McLaurin, Tell me who the reliable receiver is. Team, I don't see that he has one. So I think it's a combination of scheme. Tend as if Cliff Kingsbury has not been criticized in this league before.
Right.
I think it may be a matter of people have figured out the Cliff Kingsbury offense halfway through the season. And then he's getting no help on the plays. And, guys, they finally get a completion over the middle. You think they're going to get something going, and the tight end just leaves the ball sitting on the field. So no one wanted to help the kid out. Please, Washington, here's what we're not going to do. We are not bailing on number 5. That kid can play.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's where I'm at, because I see a lot of different troubles, but we always go to the quarterback or the coach. And I think it's a lot more than that, but – he got one dude who's going to roll with him. Number 17 going to roll with him anyway he goes. They need to find a way to get him the ball earlier, though.
Yeah, and, you know, I was talking to Wale after the game yesterday, and he was talking about McCaffrey. And he was saying, you know, McCaffrey's the kind of player where early in a game, you got to get someone like him involved. And if someone like him gets involved and gets energy and gets momentum, maybe he's someone who contributes throughout a game. You know what I mean? Like, Terry's the kind of guy who can pop up at any point. Like, and I think I heard this being discussed on the radio, too. Terry, at any given moment, nothing's going on, and all of a sudden he does what he did yesterday.
Yeah.
But there are other guys on this team who need to get going early, and that's not being done. And by the way, I do have to call out our brother, the legend Doc Walker. At one point yesterday, and obviously, listen, guys, it's Doc. It's an emotional game. I know what I'm signing up for when I choose to listen to Doc Walker after a painful loss.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm aware of what I'm getting, but at one point Doc said, and, you know, I've been listening to Doc now for 20-some years, so I know what I'm getting. But at one point someone talked about what a bad loss it was, and Doc said,
I mean, is it possible it wasn't a bad loss? It was a great win. No, Doc, it's not possible. That was a bad loss. That was a bad loss.
Dude, Dallas I went Cowboys. On with Doc. I went on with Doc last night, and it was a hell of a hit. I love Doc. I completely do. It almost seemed like he was yelling at me because I said, I'm not sure their receivers are good enough. And he said, well, go get another one. And I was like, well, Doc, that I think you're trying.
That's not how it works.
It was a bad loss, undoubtedly. I think interior pressure is really starting to impact Jaden and this offense, because when he was able to escape to the edges, he's got the speed and he's good. But when it's in your face right away, it's a different ball game. Talking with our friend Peter Rosenberg. You can give him a follow at Rosenberg Radio. Dude, so you posted this video at the end of Terry hitting that 86-yard touchdown and then them missing the extra point. And in the suite you're in appeared to be Jaden's mom, Jay-Z, Wale, Governor Westmore, Matt Rafe, I think the comedian, was in there. Where were you? How did you end up there? And what was that scene like?
He said, damn it, he's Peter Rosenberg. What you think?
That's a good point.
You know what? See, that's why B.M. is my guy. I love you. I love you, Austin Eckler. That's the only 30 I know right there. First of all, Matt Rafe was there? Was he a Commanders fan?
He was playing a show at MGM, I think.
Got it. By the way, Marshmello was in there, too. DJ Marshmello was there as well.
I've heard he is a Skins fan, but doesn't like to let it out there because he's like a Philly guy.
Yeah, he was wearing an authentic Terry McLaurin jersey. Corday was in there as well. It was a lot of people. So I was the guest of Michael Rubin. Man, Rubin's been a good guy to me for a long time, and I had seen him a few months ago, and he said I have a suite. I said, oh, well, I have a couple of plugs in Washington, and they take good care of me. And he said, my suite's better, I promise. And I said, okay, I will take you up on it, my friend. And so I reached out, and it just happened to be when I hit his assistant up, 2 months ago and asked for a game, it happened to be this game. And then that turned into this whatever it was yesterday, which was crazy. And we ended up, me and my wife ended up watching the entire game with Jaden's family. It was heartbreaking, man. The end of that game, the emotional roller coaster. And I heard what you guys were saying at the beginning of the show about Seibert, and I do think it's fascinating. Listen, B. Mitch is right. If they had tried to go for two and didn't get it, people would have killed Dan Quinn, me among them. But it is crazy that we opted not to kick it last week, but in a game in which he'd already missed an extra point and a field goal, we did not. It was such a perfect storm of terrible. and to me, I just need an answer. Like, is the guy mentally not right, or is the hip still bad? But obviously yesterday was crazy sweet to be in there. I'll tell you one thing about Jay-Z. Locked in to football. That man had the iPad, was watching all the games and our game intently. He was like very dialed in.
Wow.
in a way I did not expect. And hilarious moment at the end of the day, as we're about to leave, I ran into him, and my wife is a huge Jay-Z fan, and I have a nice enough rapport with him, and I introduced my wife, and the only words out of her mouth when they shook hands, she just said, I love you, to him. That was it.
I've never
heard someone drop the L-bomb. No, he seemed flattered. Listen, I was still geeked about meeting Wes Moore, who was a lovely, lovely guy.
Oh, he's cool as hell,
governor before.
He's cool also really good at picking football games.
Oh, really? He knows the game, too?
Dude, he comes on this show every week.
We have him on every Friday. He makes 5 picks a week. I haven't checked all the games from yesterday because I think he's waiting on the Monday night or tonight, but he was 34-20 coming into the weekend. Yeah, he's good.
Well, listen, I saw him and I said, hey, no pressure, nice to meet you. Go ahead and just save our democracy. Thanks, Gov.
Dude, how long have you known Jay-Z?
Honestly, since pretty early when I got up to New York, I first interviewed him, I think, in 08 or 09, And then a few times subsequently, I hadn't seen him in a few years, but I had a funny memory yesterday when I saw him, because I met him probably five times at some point, and I ran into him at a J. Cole show. And when he walked by me, we dapped each other up, and I said, "Hey, man, it's Peter Rosenberg from Hot 97. This is back. This is like 2012. And he's like, "Bro, stop introducing yourself to me every time you see me."
Yeah, that's how JP do every time he meets people.
I do that
also. He tell them who he is again. They know who you are.
Who am I to assume that Jay-Z remembers who I am? I've been meeting this guy since I was Tigger's intern in 1998.
Wow, so in the basement.
After 14 years, he was like, "Hey, man, I remember you now." So it was very, I like to pretend to be cool, guys. I am still tickled that I got to, say what's up to him. He knows who I am, and I got to introduce my wife. It's pretty cool.
I get that. If you need support, I can tell him that I remember you wearing a Reasonable Doubt t-shirt back in high school in the mid to late 90s. So.
No. He knows I'm the real deal. Okay. That's why I think he has a respect for me, is because he knows, there are a lot of Jay-Z fans. I'm of the first sure. generation of Jay-Z fans.
Rockefeller, y'all. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
I have some good news and some bad news about our BCC Barons, if you care.
They made the playoff and then they lost.
Well, Brian spoiled it. they made the playoffs in football. And I think won a round, and then had to go up North Montgomery County and play Quince Orchard and got their doors blown off.
This guy asked you to go with him. You didn't go, Jay?
Nah.
when was the last time that they made the playoffs in football? They don't do that very often.
I think Tosin Adeboyku was playing. I don't know. It's been a while, dude.
By the way, that was a hell of a year. That year was amazing, bro. They were 9-1 that year or something. It was incredible.
Yeah, and then that team from Frederick came down and just things changed.
It's always those teams from out 270 that come and mess us up.
Yeah, man. Corn fed. Thank you, Peter.
270 teams, yeah.
Thank you, dude. Appreciate you. Safe travels.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
All right, bro. Take care, Pete.
Happy Thanksgiving, Pete. Buddy. What a scene yesterday.
Yeah, better start taking them dudes out there, them BCC boys, and go left, drop them in the country.
We're not built for that.
Yeah, too close to the city.
We're not built for it.
Get them country
out
boys, baby.
Yeah. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Babe Laufenberg joins the program.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's games. As we get the Chargers taking on the Ravens, let's do a Chargers-centric same game parlay. Anytime touchdown, let's go with J.K. Dobbins. How about over our receiving yards? I'm going to go with Ladd McConkey. And then with the over passing yards, let's go with my guy, Justin Herbert. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oh, man, that's a tough loss yesterday. People are fighting in the chat. People are fighting all over the place.
Why are they fighting?
Who knows, man? The trolls come in.
You come together.
Upset.
If a troll come in, just tell Jeff and drop him out of the chat.
I live in a place where I appreciate the chat, and I'm glad it exists, but I'm also not gonna devote too much of my – it's a very limited capacity in my brain, Jeff. I'm not a whole lot of time and space getting devoted to it. I did want to mention this. Our boy Greg texted earlier, 100% of my blame pie goes to RG3 for showing up. I don't know, man. I don't think it's 100%, but it is a tough day for RG3 to show up. When generally he'd be the big star, but when Jay-Z is there, unless the president of the United States shows up, how many people are bigger stars than Jay-Z? I mean, honestly.
Wasn't nobody in that stadium yesterday.
That's not a very long list.
Yeah.
Messi? I don't know.
It's a football crowd now.
Messi has reached a different
level
of the world.
Messi reached whatever you want. If it's a football crowd, it's going to be different.
Who else, LeBron, Tom Brady maybe walking around? There's not a lot of people.
It's not going to be Tom Brady.
Beyonce, Taylor Swift.
Maybe those two.
Kardashian, maybe? Bro, she's famous, B.
Hey, she might be famous, but a lot of people don't give them the love like you might give them.
I don't give her any love. Oh, no, I don't consume Kardashian content.
I don't look at Kardashianism as something great. I'll keep my thoughts to myself right now because I was about to go somewhere with that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Nah.
Couple questions here. I want to be clear that I'm not killing DQ for not going for two. Not to mention the offensive line had just sprinted like 60 yards. Typically you kick there. There was more to consider because the kicker had already missed a couple. Mm-hmm. I'm more confused early in this game by a decision on fourth and two to kick a long field goal that you missed.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been so good at going for it on fourth and two. Doc asked me last night, what's their go-to play? And I don't know that they have one.
Mm-mm.
But I think the play they can count on really throughout the season, it did. There was one time it didn't work in Philly when they went for it on a fourth and two. But whether it's out of the – usually it's out of the shotgun. In the Philly situation, they ran it under center where they run – it looks like a QB counter – and they get one puller going left, and then usually two guys coming back to the right.
They ran it yesterday.
They ran it for the two-point conversion yesterday.
Yeah, and Eckler got the good block.
Yeah, I just think that's your best play. Like you need
on that play, I think also if the guy comes up real fast, I think the O-line is supposed to block down the line so you could just toss it as well.
Sure. I mean, maybe it's a true RPO, whatever it is. I think that's your best single play. I would have ran that on fourth and two. Or at that point, you're kind of gashing him. I would have let B-Rob go. That was before all the crazy stuff with Robinson particularly. I don't know, man. Yesterday is a really, really disappointing result. Do you have any, like, positives you take from that game?
Terry, at the end, the fact that they were able to hit that play at that moment, when people know you got to hit a big play, says a lot. B-Rob early on in that game, I like Frankie Louvu, the way he was playing. I can't go very much more. I think Chin was having a good game.
Dude.
You know, that hit Chin, hit the dude could have easily been was Chin that hit the dude in the back. That could have easily been a fumble.
I think there's a bunch of defensive players that played pretty darn well. When we return, let's check in with the Dallas side of things. Babe Loffenberg joins the program.
All right, Babe.